So let's just talk about mouthwash. Are you guys like fans?
No, I'm not a fan of
mouthwash.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to this episode of the Bite Angle podcast. So I'm Dr. Jacqueline. I'm a general dentist with Dental Design Singapore. And I'm joined today by Leanne, who's one of our dental hygienists, also at Dental Design Singapore, and Amida, who is a very interesting person. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So Amida, I'm a practicing oral health therapist. I'm also actually working at Curaden. That's a dental tool brand, and I'm also actually teaching ad hoc adjunct at new course for the oral health therapist.
Okay, so you may be wondering why we have this mix of people with us today. So the reason we have gathered here today is to talk about oral hygiene, but we want to dive deep into, you know, more than just brushing and toothpaste. There are lots of other different tools which you may have heard of or be wondering about, and we're here to talk about those additional things, maybe go over the basics. I always like to go over basics. And maybe you can learn a thing or two, and hopefully we can debunk some common myths among patients out there. And as always, if you haven't already, please like, share, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. And if you want to see our lovely faces, you can watch us on YouTube. So let's just jump right in. What are some common oral hygiene myths that you've heard patients say? I mean, because we're all practicing, mm-hmm. so I'm sure there are some things that keep coming up.
Correct. I think the most common one I hear is you can replace toothbrushing with mouth rinse.
Oh, yes. I hate that the most. That just grinds my gears. What about you? Is that the most common thing?
The most common thing, yeah, the toothbrush. It's the most common that I will recommend to the patient. When I see how the oral health inside their mouth, how the deposit that they build up.
Okay, so we said that patients believe that mouthwash can replace mm-hmm. brushing, which is not true. It's not true. Okay, what other common myths have you heard patients say?
I think in the Asia context, interdental cleaning is not talk much. And they believe that they don't need to do interdental cleaning, that brushing is enough.
Yes. Is that something that you've heard as well?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Most likely, lah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of patients, they just clean at most with a toothpick or something if mm-hmm. there's food stuck mm-hmm. In between their teeth. Mm-hmm. So, I find that for a lot of my local patients, if I do restorations in between the teeth, mm-hmm. I cannot leave a food track. Because mm-hmm. they don't want to floss. Correct. They're it should be self-cleaning, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. yeah, to a certain extent it is, but we can talk a bit more about that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I noticed as well is in order to compensate for not cleaning in between the teeth, the patient just brushes really hard. Yeah. They're scrubbing the toilet, you know, super hard, and then they cause all kinds of other problems with the gums. Any other myths?
I think those two are the most common ones. The rest, let's see.
What about whitening toothpaste? I've also had patients who kind of abuse whitening toothpaste.
True.
Because they think that it's going to change the color mm-hmm. of their teeth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just tell them it's for stain control.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
For, people who smoke. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, you shouldn't be smoking. It's really bad for you, mm-hmm. but if you smoke or you take a lot of coffee or red mm-hmm. wine, then it's fine. But there is, I think, a lack of understanding about what the whitening toothpaste can do and how that fits in to your routine, or if you want to actually change the color of your teeth, then whitening toothpaste is not it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've mentioned some, the top three myths. Number one, mouthwash can replace brushing, it doesn't. Number two, you don't need to clean in between your teeth, and brushing is enough, it is not enough. And number three, whitening toothpaste can actually like whiten your teeth beyond its natural color.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about mouthwash. Are you guys like fans?
No, I'm not a fan of mouthwash.
Yeah.
Only when properly prescribed by a dental professional, not yes, self-prescribed. Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Even though the label says 99.9% can kill the bacteria, I still don't believe.
No, I think it can. Like, but you see, you have to see how they, like, okay, the company that makes the mouthwash, okay, allegedly,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to get sued, but mm-hmm. it depends on how they did the test.
Correct.
So if they have like bacteria just, you know, floating around in a petri dish, and then they pour the mouthwash on top and all the bacteria dies, then it's not an inaccurate claim.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with like trying to extrapolate a petri dish test to what happens in our mouth is the bacteria in our mouth, I mean, there's some loose ones like floating around, but most of the time they are not found in as just individual bacteria.
Correct.
They are found in biofilm.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Do you want to talk about biofilm?
It's yeah.
like a whole other beast.
Okay. In layman terms, we talk about biofilm. I every time say it's like the bacteria are actually very smart. They do communicate with each other and they are building buildings, very solid buildings in your mouth. Washing with a mouth rinse, swishing around with no mechanical, which means removal of it with brushing, it's not going to remove much. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a tsunami in your mouth with a mouthwash. Okay. You probably cannot recreate that effect, but brushing will be able to destroy. We are not talking about 100% removal of biofilm as well. There will always be this equilibrium that we want in our mouth, how high or low the bacteria we want. Of course, we want better, more good bacteria, but there will always be bad bacteria around as well. That is life.
And, yeah, I mean, like biofilm is, I mean, it's not just a problem for us in dental.
Mm-hmm.
I think in like marine engineering and,
mm-hmm.
Even like piping, it is
mm-hmm.
a problem because
mm-hmm.
like bacteria tend to want to clump together
mm-hmm.
because they are stronger in a group
mm-hmm.
and they produce like a lot of different compounds that can shield them from like things like mouthwash and different
mm-hmm.
kinds of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So the most reliable way to remove a biofilm is through like, you need to scrape it off the surface of the tooth or off the pipe or off the side of a ship. So it's like the same thing would apply. So, technically, in that sense, would you say that patients don't need to use like toothpaste? Because like...
Technically, in technically.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just talking
yes.
about like biofilm. Yeah.
I don't use toothpaste at night.
Oh,
yes.
Shocked.
I only
what?
Use... Yes.
Why?
Okay. Most of the time, we use toothpaste as a professional. We know there's fluoride inside. That's for remineralization. But as a layman, when I use toothpaste, I would think I only want a fresh breath. I want that minty feel in my mouth. Yes. And at night, when you go to sleep, do you need a fresh breath for anyone but yourself? Or maybe your partner lying beside you. So to me, then a toothpaste, I don't use it at night because the real cleaning is the toothbrushes, the interdental cleaning, clean your tongue. After that, what I do is I replace it with a foam. So it's a remineralization foam. That's like what how we do cleaning in the clinic. After you do the cleaning, you do a fluoride tray, something like that. But my fluoride tray comes in a foam, swirl it around my mouth, and I spit it out, and that I get my remineralization. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the lay people, like
mm-hmm.
You mentioned like
mm-hmm.
a couple of things
mm-hmm.
I think we need to talk
mm-hmm.
about. So one is fluoride. So what
mm-hmm.
is like fluoride?
Okay, so fluoride, there are a few. Okay, so what we know most of the time, if you look at the back of your toothpaste, it will say stainless fluoride. Some now a bit more, say atas, the brands, they will put hydroxyapatite. Yes. I every time tell people hydroxyapatite works very differently from stainless fluoride. Stainless fluoride is a man-made ingredient. It doesn't penetrate the tooth. What it does is only giving a protective layer. Your tooth is not a solid block of nothingness. There are pores on your tooth. Yes. So hydroxyapatite, that is something different. because actually that is something more towards nature. And of course, with a bit of science, then they put it like nanofluoride, where your tooth is able to absorb, and it actually, it is what your tooth is more or less made of. It is hydroxyapatite. So when your tooth absorbs this, it remineralizes from the inside out. Yes, but stainless fluoride, it technically doesn't remineralize your tooth. It just gives a protective layer where that when you eat and drink, it kind of washes off. Yes.
Okay. So to recap, like fluoride is found in many different mm-hmm. products. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to your remineralizing mm-hmm. foam because I'm very curious about that. But the type of fluoride or how it's manufactured will affect like, what it actually does to the tooth. So like the man-made fluoride, like stainless fluoride, mm-hmm. Just forms a coating, but the coating needs to be replenished mm-hmm. because it gets worn off. But then newer generation, forms of fluoride, like hydroxyapatite, will actually absorb into the tooth, mm-hmm. which is slightly porous. So a lot mm-hmm. of people think that our teeth are like solid, like, mm-hmm. I mean, even like you think about a concrete wall, it's not 100% mm-hmm. solid. Mm-hmm. Our teeth are the same. So the hydroxyapatite actually strengthens the tooth mm-hmm. surface from within. So, it's less likely to like wash away. But do you still need to replenish it then?
Yeah, of course I think you do. Because every day as you are eating, there are acid happening after mm-hmm. you eat. Yes.
Okay, okay, let's talk about this. Like, okay, so if we like eat mm-hmm. like anything or like mm-hmm. certain foods are mm-hmm. a bit worse than others, right? Like what happens at the tooth level? Like let's just zoom in and like shrink ourselves like into microscopic mm-hmm. size mm-hmm. and then we mm-hmm. look at what's happening at the tooth level. So for example, if I ate like I drank like a Coke, mm-hmm. Coca-Cola, like what's happening at the level of my tooth?
Maybe Lian can answer that too. Lian.
I mean, just for the people uh-huh. to understand like why we are talking about like mm-hmm. fluoride. So what happens at the level of the tooth? Like when I take a sip of like Coca-Cola, like not diet, like full strength Coca-Cola.
I think there's a lot of the sugar content inside the Coca-Cola, of course. Even though they say like 0%, they still have the artificial like sugar inside, like a sorbitol or like a...
Yeah, I mean, that's not as bad correct. As like regular sugar. I mean, we can talk about that.
Regular sugar, regular Coke.
Okay? Yeah. So I am drinking like normal Coke. Like what happens? Like, okay, so there's sugar inside the Coke. So now the sugar comes and like...
Yes, it gives you a rush, first thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a whole other discussion. But like, okay, so that, like we know when you add water to sugar, so mm-hmm. Coke is a liquid, so it's mm-hmm. going to be sticky. So the sugar solution is going to wash on my tooth and it's going to stick there because mm-hmm. it's sticky. And then what else is going to happen like after that?
There's a layer of the coated will be like on the tooth surface mm-hmm. because of the sugar.
Yeah.
And then if you just like let it stay inside your mouth and then the saliva will mix up with that and become the acid. So in the long way, you still like without like rinsing out your mouth with the after drinking the Coca-Cola, so I think it will build up some like bacteria that will slowly like hack around the enamel surface.
Okay, so basically to summarize, like the bacteria in our mouth, so the biofilm that we talked about earlier, they're just like waiting there to like mm-hmm. scavenge our food. So they're actually scavengers. Mm-hmm. These bacteria have evolved together with humans, and especially I think once humans started to move from like hunter-gathering to like agriculture, where we started to like farm like more starch-intensive kind of food like rice, so these bacteria are just like waiting there to like scavenge the little bits of food or sugar that is left behind. And the reason why Coke is like extra bad is because it's high in sugar. So when these bacteria like eat the remnants of the sugar, they produce acid. So you can just think of it as the bacteria eats sugar and it poops out acid. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the Coke itself is already acidic. Mm-hmm. So our teeth are made of that hydroxyapatite. So you can just think of it as like a crystallized kind of mineral, mm-hmm. but any mineral is weak when it comes into contact with some kind of acid. So you now have two sources of acid. One is the Coke itself, and the other, which is like a more slow acting one, is produced by the bacteria that live in the biofilm on our teeth. So by that logic, like what will happen to the tooth surface eventually if you keep repeating this process is the outer surface of the tooth will start to dissolve and melt mm-hmm. away, and with enough acid and enough time, like eventually you get a hold.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yes.
In the layman's terms, like when you have a hole in your tooth, like that's when you go to your dentist and you say, oh, I feel like I have a hole in my tooth or a cavity. And you know, depending on how big the hole is, then there may be like some sensitivity or even pain as well. So, mm-hmm. Bringing it back to the fluoride discussion, you mentioned that remineralizing foam. What is that?
Okay. So, you know that I'm at Curaden. So, they have this range of products called CuraProx. So, they have this line called an aligner foam. Mm-hmm. And when we hear aligner foam, we think that it's for people with aligners. But technically, it is a remineralization foam. Okay. Which means I have no aligners. I can still use it. If I have sensitivity, I can use it. I've gone through whitening, I can use it as well. Yes, they just put it as a aligner foam because, you know, aligners are now the rage. Most clinics, most people wants to do that instead of the regular metal braces. Yes. And we've also realized that people now with aligners, they have a range of whole lot of other problems that the original metal brackets didn't have. Of course, the metal brackets is hard to clean. You have very uncomfortable. Most people don't recommend it. And then if I can have a better way to align my teeth, to correct my alignment, why not use the aligner? But with the aligner, you are actually blocking your saliva in contact with your teeth. Your saliva is antibacterial. There are a lot of good stuff inside your saliva. So when you're blocking your teeth from the natural antibacterial property, then what you get is a lot of caries in aligner patients if they are not taken care of well. And most of these aligner patients are young teenagers. They don't care too much, or they don't have much time to care about their teeth. Yes, they have other priorities. And it's quite sad. I've seen many cases where they have their perfect smile now, but many, many decays in between the teeth, what we call shadow cavities, and they'll say, I didn't eat sweets. I don't eat any sweet things. Mm. Yes. And they don't realize it's not about sweet things anymore. Sometimes it's more about the simple carbohydrates that are always in our diet, especially in our Asian context where we have all this so readily available that we are not aware that they are there. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think I've seen that product, the aligner foam, but how is it, I mean, how, from the name, like, or the way, like, some of my patients understood it, they thought it was to clean the aligners.
Yes.
But from what you're telling me, it sounds like you're supposed to wear it in your aligners.
Correct. Right? Correct. Okay. Yes. Correct.
And what is the active ingredient in that?
Hydroxyapatite. Yes.
Is there fluoride or?
There is fluoride as well, but the fluoride is quite low in content. So there are actually other herbal extracts there as well to help to combat the nasty bacteria.
Yes.
Our most common one that causes decay. Yes.
The herbal extracts.
Oh, okay. Oh, off the record. Can't really remember, but you know, the edit's gonna help put up the ingredients.
Okay. So like, we can actually put the ingredients up for you guys to see. Do you know, like, what the fluoride amount is in that product?
Yes. So for stainless fluoride itself, it's only 230 ppm. But for hydroxyapatite, it's actually at 10,000 to 20,000. Yes. Mm. So you see that range is suddenly quite big because they do it as a percentage as well. Mm. Correct.
But then, like, in my experience, I've had patients who use stainless fluoride, like in, I think Oral-B has a toothpaste that has it, but they get staining of their teeth. So I'm not a fan. But do you find that that's an issue with this product? Or
not really. You'll realize because the stainless fluoride is actually quite low. Okay. Yes, correct. It's actually very low. It's at only 230. I don't think you'll get that amount anywhere in Singapore. Yes, that states right there that it's only 230 for ppm Yes. Mm-hmm. So PVM, we in short term, it's actually parts per million. Yeah. Correct. Yes.
So the hydroxyapatite mm-hmm. is 10 to 20,000.
Yes, correct.
I see. So would that be suitable for like patients who, like I have some patients mm-hmm. who are like ex-cancer patients mm-hmm. and their mouth is mm-hmm. really dry mm-hmm. and then they tend to get like lots of decay.
Correct.
Because as you mentioned, you know, they don't have the mm-hmm. saliva or mm-hmm. the saliva production has mm-hmm. dropped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be equivalent to something like the Durafet toothpaste, which we cannot get in Singapore?
Okay, the Durafet toothpaste is 5,000. Yes, yeah, which so is like very high. Correct. Like so it's a 10. Bit different. So when we say hydroxyapatite, even though it's 10 to 20,000, yeah. it's not the same exact as our stainless fluoride calculation. So it's parts per million, but because it's so nano size, so it has to be in a bigger quantity for it to be effective. If mm-hmm. it's still the same at 1,450, which is our normal toothpaste fluoride, yeah. then it's not so effective already. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, because mm-hmm. I have patients who will probably benefit from it.
Yes.
But it's just like right now I'm actually prescribing them like a custom made mm-hmm. mouthwash, but mm-hmm. not with hydroxyapatite, it's just mm-hmm. like sodium fluoride, but mm-hmm. in like very high concentration, like 5,000 ppm mm-hmm. for these patients who are just like really prone to getting
decay,
cavities, yeah, correct. Because of like they are ex-cancer
correct.
Patients.
Yes. Yeah. I always feel that the cancer patients, especially when they have any radio near their mouth area, be it the neck or the face, they tend to get very dry mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a mouth rinse just with fluoride, even at high concentration, it doesn't really help them because they just cannot produce as much saliva now. So how many times can they rinse with a mouth rinse a day that can help to combat this nasty bacteria? Mm-hmm. So instead, if we have a mouth rinse that actually can do both remineralization and helping them to replicate or to help them promote the salivary gland to have more saliva, why not? Do we have such a product in the market? We do have, but not readily available in Singapore.
Oh, like that mouthwash has like some like pilocarpine or something.
Yes, correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, because I when I was training, like we had a like an oral medicine clinic mm-hmm. where yeah, all these patients with like complex mm-hmm. medical histories would come. But at that point of time, the pilocarpine, so just to side note, pilocarpine is a drug that like increases the production of all the exocrine glands. So exocrine are things like saliva, sweat, but that was given as an oral medication. So mm-hmm. yes, it would help the patient with their dry mouth, but then they would sweat like a lot. So it wasn't like really pleasant. But it's interesting that now you see there's a pilocarpine like mouthwash. I think I saw pilocarpine being used as an eye drop for like treatment of like presbyopia, so like laohua. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's quite interesting. Maybe mm-hmm. it might come to Singapore, I don't know.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So we're not sure as well. I think as the world is so small and big at the same time, and we are so well connected with the internet right now that actually if we just go Google, we probably can find some things. But is it right for us? That's the question. Because a lot of times, because where people, they become a doctor themselves. They go to the internet, they go Google, oh, I think this is good for me. But is it really good for you? Yeah, that's another question as well. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's... okay, I know everybody keeps talking about AI and how it's going to take our jobs, but for dental, I feel it's... You cannot just do the same approach for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, we see patients, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there are general principles that we follow,
yep.
but it, like, we have to tailor it to fit, like, the mm-hmm. individual.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, knowing your medical history and all mm-hmm. that will definitely help. And I don't think that in this age of AI, we should be, you know, putting all your personal information online.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as professionals, I mean, we've taken an oath to, you mm-hmm. know, be ethical, and that also means like, you know, considering your best interest and not like selling your personal data online,
mm-hmm.
which all these like search companies and AI companies, you know, they actually want your data because they want to monetize it. So I would say that for now, AI, I don't think it's like, it can help, but like it's only as good as the information that it
that you
uses.
Provide. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes. And I think as a lay person, I may not know my full signs and symptoms to put in the correct prompts in the AI. I mean, if you are a dental professional and you need AI to help you with a really difficult case that you cannot diagnose or anything like that, sure, why not? Yes. But for a layperson, I still believe that you need to go to your professional, seek their advice. If you feel that you have problems trusting some, just one individual, go to a few, seek consultation, know exactly what we are talking about, and then you can do your own research. Yes. Because now I always say there is not much of fake news, but misinformation, where they mix a bit of truth and a bit of false thing. And that's where people, they feel a bit hard to differentiate as well. Especially if you're a dental professional, then you'll realize that, this is not true at all. Yeah. And then you can pick it up, that out really easily. I've got a lot of friends always come and ask me we will think it's very basic things or very simple, like, how can you get fooled by this? But they'll still ask, like, mm-hmm. Oh, can I not brush my teeth? I just use mouthwash. Can mouthwash say 99%, 99.99 kill bacteria? So I don't need to brush. Yes. Also along that lines where you feel like this shouldn't be happening, but it is happening quite widely. Yes.
I just feel sad, like, because I feel like for, the external, mm-hmm. People, like, they spend on, like, their hair, their nails, facials, mm-hmm. whatever. But then, like, teeth just, in Asia at least, it just seems to be, like, people just, like, want to put it to one side. Mm-hmm. Even though it's, like, right in the middle of your face. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully that will change with, like, the younger generation. Like, taking care of your teeth is, like, self-care. I mean, if now it's, like, very mm-hmm. trendy, right? Yeah, it should be, like, an important part of, like, even if you don't want to look at it as healthcare, even though I think it is, like, it's an important part of, like, your personal grooming and things like that. But like I said, yeah, hopefully things will change.
Correct. And rightfully that you say so as well. The self-care that we do in our mouth, it actually reflects in our whole body. And that's where we say, as professionals, we know your oral health actually impacts your systemic health, which is your overall health. So how good you take care of your mouth or your teeth, it actually reflects into your body. Many studies have shown that there are many illnesses that are correlated or actually a effect of bad oral hygiene. Yes.
I think, that's a very interesting point. Maybe we need to talk about that because, in our professional circles, it's like the... Like, mm-hmm. we've known about it, I think, since I was training, which was, mm-hmm. like, 15 years ago. So, but I think for the average person, especially in Asia, I think there's a lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to start us off with some conditions, like, systemic conditions. So, systemic just means, like, something that happens in another part of your body that's connected to, what's going on in your mouth.
Okay. If a patient comes to see me, when I review their oral health inside their mouth, if I see a lot of the build-up like a plaque and harden like a plaque and like a tartar, so I will just like question them or asking them how long that they spend to do their brushing, okay? And then if usually like standardized, like most likely people will just brush very quickly, maybe like max is 30 seconds to what I feel. And they say, I already done my brushing. Then they just feel like it's okay. So after we have cleaned their mouth, and then I will feel like they are bleeding, that's a lot, and just advise them to come back to see me for 3 months for the maintenance. To advise that if they still have to do the proper brushing when they at home, overall standard is 2 minutes at least. If the bleeding still a lot when they do the brushing from home, there's sometimes what Dr. Jackie mentioned, can be a systemic issue, maybe a heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reason. Or maybe that's the most common heart problem.
What about diabetes?
Diabetes also related to, because the urine system to the heart also, right?
But diabetes, I've actually seen a patient that had uncontrolled diabetes. She's quite a young lady, in her 30s only, okay? Mm. And I was actually very shocked because she seems quite chill about her own condition. And of course, her mouth, it was quite a bad condition of periodontitis, which is gum disease. And she was already at risk of losing quite multiple teeth because many were loose. So when I asked her about her medical history as I was doing consulting, and then she said, oh, normally my HbA1c is at 9. I was like, are you taking medication? She said, yes, I am. And I said, okay. So I was a bit concerned now, because if you're taking medications, and not just one, multiple, just to control diabetes, and it's not controlled, because we know at 7, that's okay.
So I can, feels a bit high, like less than six.
Correct. But yeah. Because when you have a long chronic diabetic person, at 7, I'm quite happy for them already. Mm. Yes. But she's at 9. I'm quite worried. And she told me 3 months ago, it was 11. And
okay, wait, let's just backtrack for 1 second. So you brought up like a couple of things. So we know like diabetes is increasing in our population in Singapore and in Asia. And you mentioned something called HbA1c. Do you want to just, I think people may not know what is HbA1c.
Okay. Simplified, it's the sugar content in our blood in a 3 month period, normally in a period of time, not an instant one. If you go take your body check, they probably give you a blood sugar count. That's a bit different from your HbA1c. Yes.
So I think HbA1c is like basically how much sugar is actually carried on the red blood cell. So each red blood cell on average in an adult lives for 3 months. So by measuring like how much sugar is on the outside of the red blood cell, we can figure out like what your overall blood glucose levels were like over a 3 month period. So it's actually better than, as you said, the other common test would be like the just raw measurement of blood glucose, but like blood glucose changes because like if you just ate something, so like say I had a drink of Coke, Coke is back again, like my blood sugar will spike up. But like if I only, you know, in an extreme situation, like I just had that one sip of Coke, and then for the rest of the week, I did not eat anything. If you did my blood sugar measurement, you will see that it spiked up and then it went down again. So HbA1c is quite good, I think, for picking up like, overall like stability of your blood sugar.
Correct.
And also it's quite good for picking up like pre-diabetics, because usually when you go for your blood test, they'll ask you to fast. So if you're pre-diabetic, when you fast, your blood sugar will come down, but like the HbA1c measurement actually shows like what has been happening, you know, in your daily life. So, I think the standard reading is about 5.9, like the target in most labs. So, Amida's patient who, you know, had like 9, 11, it's like almost like double of like what the reference range would be. So that just shows that her blood glucose control and by extension, like her diabetic control is really poor. And you mentioned that like her gums were like really bad until, you know, the point where you were worried that she was going to lose like some teeth.
So, of course, the first thing I told her, we need to control diabetes first, but I'm not a doctor. I told her, I said, you need to speak to your doctor, but and I cannot treat her when she first came to see me at 11. It's too high to even do a normal scaling and polishing.
Oh, why is that?
Yes. So when they are diabetic, then they are at the risk of also simplified the bacteria that as we are cleaning, okay, a lot of times we feel that it's coming out in, so it's good that it's coming out. But some of it, because it's microscopic level, it goes back to our bloodstream and it kind of, I won't say poison the blood, but there is some toxicity inside it, yes, and when you're diabetic, you already don't heal as well as a regular person. So then if you're going to have an infection somewhere else, very high risk, you're going to lose, maybe even have to, worst case scenario, you have to amputate or lose that finger or something like that. Yes. So with that risk taken in consideration, then I had to tell her, I'm so sorry, I cannot see you in my own clinic. It's not that we don't have any hospital equipment or thing to help you. If there is a risk that she faints in the clinic or anything like that, I'm not able to help her. So I had to refer her to our institution where she was seen, and very happily I've seen her back, and diabetes is much more controlled because everything in the mouth is much more controlled now as well. And of course, patient is very happy because she was, why she even came to see me. It was not because of the tartar. It was not because of anything, because her tooth were loose and she's a lady in her 30s. So she was more concerned about how she looked visually. Okay, so she came. But of course, I'm happy that she came. At least she came at the time that something could be done. Yes, I've seen cases where nothing could be done, that only extractions could be done. And those are very sad cases because your teeth are for life. We always have this misconceptions that we lose our teeth when we get old. Mm. It's natural. But if you look at an example, King Tut, the Egyptian, the mummies, they have their teeth even now. Yes, your teeth is not going to drop off if they are healthy. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I find, yeah, the especially when the diabetic patients, they end up like going on insulin. Mm-hmm. That's when you know like the diabetes is like really bad. And then you can see like a very aggressive like and rapid form of the disease. So just now you mentioned that for that patient, but just in general, like if the bacteria from the mouth like end up in the bloodstream, which can also happen just by the act of brushing your teeth because like if your gums are not healthy, then they will tend to bleed like you know, when you just brush, and that can seep bacteria from the mouth like into our bloodstream. And I think there's been quite like well documented evidence that some of these bacteria end up in the heart.
Yeah.
So they can actually start to grow on the heart valve. So the heart valve is part of the heart that actually controls the inflow and outflow of blood. So if bacteria grow on those surfaces, it will affect the function of the heart. And I think in the past 5 years, there's been studies showing that patients with Alzheimer's disease, like the plaques that form in the brain, like inside the plaque, there is oral bacteria. So I just thought that was like quite interesting, like in the fact that if you're concerned about preventing like Alzheimer's disease and dementia, which you should because it's a horrible disease, it can be just as simple as like looking after like your oral hygiene.
Correct. So, yeah. Yes. Or even as simple as you're starting a family as a lady. Yes. Many, I would say, I see women in a bit older generation, they quite proudly tell you, I lose a tooth whenever I am pregnant or have a child. Okay. That is because also your hormones are everywhere when you're pregnant, and it's hard to maintain some of these hormone levels as well. And sometimes that's where you get what we call gingivitis, pregnancy gingivitis. Yes. And in bad cases, they really do lose a tooth or two when they get pregnant. This is not normal. Yes. You can prevent that. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of actually, people who are thinking of, trying to conceive. Like, I want their oral hygiene, like, everything, like, perfect, no decay, because number one, you know, when you're pregnant, you don't want to go through the stress of having, like, a toothache. Number two, this is another myth, like, if you're pregnant, you can have dental x-rays.
Yes.
Because we don't aim the x-ray at the baby, there's no need. But a lot of people, I think, because they're starting their families quite late, so, you know, like, everything, like, can be a problem, even though it's not. But, like, if that is a concern for you, I'd rather we get the x-rays and checks before, you know, you are pregnant, so that we don't have to go through this kind of stress during. And, like, I find, again, for the younger generation, like, things are actually getting better. Like, people are more educated. But I wish our OBGYN colleagues would, you know, emphasize this, because, you know, patients like going through IVF and stuff like that, you know, before they go through it, I'm sure they do all the blood tests and everything, but they should say to them like, hey, can you please see your dentist to make sure that, you know, everything in your mouth is okay? And also I think if the patient has like uncontrolled like gum disease, it increases the risk of like preterm delivery, which is not great either. So I feel that, if our OBGYN colleagues could give their patients a heads up, like, you know how the orthopedic surgeons, you know, before they put the patient on like Prolia and stuff like that, they want us to do a clearance. So like, it would be great if we did it for this group of people as well. Okay, so we've actually strayed quite far away from the topic, but at least like we are like busting myths like out here. We are like doing public service. But yeah, if any of those things that we talked about, so fluoride, the link between like systemic conditions like diabetes and oral hygiene, Alzheimer's disease, pregnancy, if any of that was like interesting to you guys, just maybe drop us a comment. And, or you can ask like even more questions, we will try our best to answer. But, kind of coming back to the main topic, which is, okay, like going beyond just like toothbrushing. So we talked about that remineralizing foam, which is very cool. I actually want to look into that, as well. But, the first thing I think we mentioned was like mouthwash. So you said that it's not something that you routinely advise,
correct,
but you said like, prescribed. So I think we did mention another way of using mouthwash. So like I said, I have a ex-cancer patient that I prescribed like a specific mouthwash to. But what other situations would you say that mouthwash can be used? We're not saying it's a replacement, but like sometimes we want to use it.
Most of the time when I recommend mouth rinse, it's actually connected to if what invasive treatment they had. Yes, not talking about cancer or any bodily happenings, but anything in the mouth. You had a wisdom tooth surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You went for gum treatment. Yes. Or during this time, you had braces and then you just cannot take care of your oral hygiene. Then something is better than nothing. Living out being braces. When you do invasive treatments in the mouth.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, like wisdom tooth surgery. So for example, I am a 24-year-old who just had like my wisdom teeth like surgically removed. So like I have stitches in my mouth.
Correct.
And then like my face is a bit swollen because, you know, the surgery. And then like it's kind of hard to brush.
Correct, yeah, correct, so. Yes. So the mouth rinse can help lower the nasty bacteria, but can it eliminate totally? Maybe not for the whole duration, because if you have something called chlorhexidine inside that mouth rinse, which is then, it must be prescribed, it actually kills almost everything in your mouth for 12 hours. And that's why we always prescribe that for take two times, rinse two times a day, which means you're protected 24 hours. Okay. That this is not a myth. Okay. It is true. But how much bacteria does it kill? It kills both the good and the bad. It kills actually everything. How it works is, of course, it kills more bad than good. It's like cancer treatment. It kills things along the way. Yes. Yeah. And we also tell you that you don't use your chlorhexidine mouth rinse for an extended period of time. Please only use it as prescribed. I've got patients who love chlorhexidine. Yeah. They are using it beyond what was prescribed because they say, oh, I like this taste. I like this thing that's in my mouth, this smell, this taste. And they come back with nasty stains, chlorhexidine stains.
Yeah.
That is more of an aesthetic thing than anything, but to remove them as an oral health therapist.
Okay, wait. So let's just talk about like what's the difference between a dentist and an oral health therapist. So like people like are clear about the difference. So I usually introduce Leanne or any of our hygienists or oral health therapists as like specialists in cleaning. Is that fair to say?
I believe it's quite fair, because we spend our time studying just cleaning and restoring teeth. But our restoration is direct restoration, which means we do not do onlays, inlays, things like that, but direct for under 18 years old. So cleaning, it's for all ages. And if you spend 3 years learning to clean teeth, I think you should be an expert. And if you're not an expert after you graduate, your years of experience after should actually also make you somebody that is quite good at cleaning teeth. We think that cleaning teeth is very simple sometimes, yes. But there is an art to cleaning teeth that it doesn't hurt, that it cleans well, that post-recovery, it's good. You don't get much pain, you don't get much soreness as well. Do I say I'm good at it? Let's see. I graduate top in my class.
Okay. Yeah, so like she's trying not to like humble brag, but like, yeah, let's just say that she's really good. But I think the other thing that I think is part of the purview of OHTs or hygienists is also like the oral hygiene, like mm-hmm. education.
Correct.
Because like, I mean, I always tell my patients there's no point like if you come like twice a year, yes. but you don't look after your teeth well.
Correct.
Because like by the time you go home, mm-hmm. bacteria like collect on your
yes.
teeth again.
Correct.
So it's like an ongoing
Correct.
Process.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And to us, actually, as oral health therapists, we do both hygiene and therapy. Therapy being fillings, restorations. But mm-hmm. we always know that prevention is better than cure. You prevent yeah. before you need a curing thing. But if you already have a problem, then of course what we do is maintenance, helping you to maintain this, your oral hygiene and your oral health. Yes, not making it become worse. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. And okay, so the difference between like hygienists mm-hmm. or OHTs mm-hmm. and dentists is that dentists can do the things that the hygienists do, but because mm-hmm. like our scope of work is so varied, mm-hmm. like I would say that we are, yeah, I mean, some dentists, they're not that proficient at cleaning as compared to hygienists, because hygienists really like specialize in this one area of treatment. So please be friends with like your hygienists and OHTs because they are trying to help you help yourself.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yes, yeah. correct. I think in Asia, the oral health therapist, dental hygienist, it's not too, it's quite foreign, this
yeah.
term.
And I think a lot of patients think that they are getting like shortchanged,
yeah.
but I really think no, because like the hygienist, they care about getting you a really, really good clean. So, I think in the polyclinics now, they're actually
yes.
employing more OHT. So hopefully like the awareness will increase. And I think dentists and OHTs or hygienists can make like really good team.
Yes, definitely.
Because like, yeah, I like working with all my hygienists. Because
that's
like,
good
I, can,
too, yeah.
I can just like, I'll take all the photos and everything. Uh-huh. And I think you guys can take x-rays as well.
Yes,
yeah.
We can.
So I always tell my patients like hygienists, they can diagnose, they can see a lot of things, like they know as much as me, but like their scope of work is more on like mm-hmm. cleaning. And like you said, mm-hmm. for OHTs, they can do like fillings on like young people, so like mm-hmm. below 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a good partnership is like, you know, where hygienist is like really, you know, cleaning well, training the patient to like look after the work that we do, because as you said, if you don't maintain, like, there's no point.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
The same problems will just come back again, and then you're in for a more like expensive and invasive
Correct.
Treatment down
Correct.
The line.
Correct. Yes. In my clinic, I think I'm quite lucky as well. Mm-hmm. Patients, before they go for braces, they come to see me.
Oh,
yeah.
yes. Like, I, okay, this is like my other thing. No, no, because like, okay, I used to be like mm-hmm. a bit more relaxed mm-hmm. about this, but mm-hmm. now I, like, after seeing like what happens to the patients, like, if I'm not like really strict with the hygiene, mm-hmm. Before we start, like mm-hmm. they end up with like decay around
yep.
the brackets or like decay in between mm-hmm. the teeth, because
Correct.
You know, if they can't really clean well before the braces go on, it's just gonna get like 10 times
Correct.
Worse. So I'm actually quite a big fan of like GBT, so we can
yeah.
talk about that as well. So like you have to pass this test
yes.
before I let you
Correct.
Get the braces.
Technically, I pass my patient only after almost a year. Okay, so they do see me and I tell them you have to maintain your oral health before
yeah,
we can
yeah.
do braces
yeah.
because there's no point. So all this education that we give them, because they are teenagers still and
yes.
sometimes quite young, and they don't have the care. They just want, I want to do her braces because I want to have straight teeth. That is their main concern.
Yeah.
But my concern is different from theirs. So I have to let them know, technically, I'll show them pictures. I said, okay,
mm-hmm.
you get straight teeth, but you get holy teeth. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're like, first time they say holy teeth. I said, yeah, not that holy where you're a Christian or anything, and a religion, but real many,
like
many
Swiss
holes.
Cheese.
Correct.
Yeah.
Swiss cheese. And they're like, no, 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 I don't want that. Then once you get, are able to get their attention or their, they know that this can happen if they don't take care, then we are quite on the, quite a good route to them
mm-hmm.
as well. But being young, what I learned in a clinic in 30 minutes. Maybe 2 months time, I forget all about it. Yes.
Mm.
So if they are able to maintain their oral hygiene for at least 6 months, 1 year. Mm. Then I said, oh, you're doing great. I think you're ready for your braces. And they're ecstatic to hear that because they're like, I passed my test.
Yes, yeah. And I think because young people are just used to taking tests and exams. So this is just another exam.
Correct.
But yeah, like, what's your favorite way to assess the hygiene? Because usually, like, you know, patients will say like, oh, how's my hygiene compared to before? Like, do you have a preferred, like, way to assess?
I do. I actually have something, we all have something called a plaque disclosing.
Jing, jing, jing. Okay, let's talk about what is plaque disclosing gel, first of all, because like, maybe you guys out there don't know we have this secret weapon. Like, we will know whether you brushed, like, just before you came in to see us and like, or like which areas you have brushed. Yeah.
Yes. And I do take pictures of my patients. So without the plaque disclosing first, and I ask them, do you think you're cleaning well? Of course, most of them will say, yeah. The younger ones, they're a bit more like, I don't know. Yeah. Yes. But when you do a plaque disclosing, what this plaque disclosing does, it discloses the plaque very easily. Okay. It's a liquid. Okay. Yeah. And most of this liquid now, they also have tablets, but liquid are easier to work with the dental professionals. We just put it around the teeth. We let them rinse once and you can see the discoloration on the teeth. It stains purple, pink, every color actually has a different meaning as well, whether it's fresh plaque or an aged plaque, which means that plaque has been there for more than 2-3 days.
Yeah, and when can drop a photo like in here so you guys can see.
Correct.
So the colors, the different colors, I think it's like 3 colors, right?
Yes.
So you mentioned pink. So
yes.
Pink is the new plaque. So like less than 2 days.
Less than 24 hours.
Yeah, less than 24 hours. And then the aged plaque, which is purple.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the last one, which is the worst one, is blue, which is the acidic plaque. So just now when we were talking up, like way earlier about how the bacteria actually damage our teeth, so they produce acid. So areas that have a lot of blue means that area is like prone to decay. And usually, I'm sure you've seen this, you know, after you clean that area, you see underneath the blue plaque, there's like an early... The tooth is actually melting underneath the,
yes,
the plaque.
Yes, and what we call as white spot lesions, they are a beginning of a decay.
Yeah, so if you have a lot of white spots on your teeth, I mean, don't panic, but...
Yes.
You know, if there's a lot of plaque as well, I wouldn't be too happy about having those. Yeah, because the tooth is basically like getting porous. That's why it looks white. And like... for my braces patients, they get it sometimes around the brackets and then it's a permanent mark.
Yes.
So they have like little squares.
Correct. It's so sad.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's ways to fix it, but like, you know, it's like you're throwing more money, more treatment at a problem that could have been prevented.
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah, we're all big fans of plaque disclosing gel. But you also mentioned there's tablets available as well.
There are tablets as well out there. I think... there is this brand of toothpaste that even have a disclosing.
I can't remember. It's a local brand. I don't know how it works because like...
I've never tried it actually.
No, I had it. Well, I tried a sample.
Okay.
Yeah. I just can't remember what's the brand. Oh, Pearly White. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Shout out. Pearly White. We are not sponsored by anybody, but yeah. But I just thought that it was weird because like, as you're brushing, like, how would you know whether it's being removed, right? But yeah, I am a big fan of the tablets for like home use.
Correct. And sometimes when my young patients, not say as young as 3 or 5, as long as they're going to primary schools, secondary schools, and they just cannot maintain because they keep telling you, I'm brushing well. But when you show them it's not the case, and then I'll give them a tablet or two, I said, okay, use this at home, but I will tell them first, use it only during the weekends, okay? Don't use it when you're on the way to school because you need some time to remove all these colors.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then are you a fan of... So how do we know like when the teeth are cleaned if you are using a tablet, like disclosing tablet at home?
So hopefully after they've seen a dental professional, they've cleaned their teeth, they shouldn't have too much age plaque or tartar in their mouth. So when they disclose, it's mostly pink color. Yes. And when you're trying to remove new plaque, it's actually very soft. You don't need a lot of strength to remove it. It's like washing dishes. You know, you've eaten something and you leave your plate there for 1 hour. You see how much it hardens around that surface of your plate.
Yep.
That's actually what happens to our teeth. But if you clean it immediately, it's actually very easy to clean your teeth. Yes. And I think that's what we try to advocate as dental professionals as well, that please, I'm not saying brush your teeth immediately after eating because you shouldn't do that as well. That's another topic.
Yeah. Okay, like if you, just really quickly, why shouldn't we brush our teeth like right after we eat?
Correct. So because when you eat, okay, acid is actually happening simultaneously as you eat because the bacteria is also having a party in your mouth eating the food
Pooping the acid, guys.
Yes, okay. So if you're brushing your teeth immediately after you eat, you're actually brushing microscopic levels of the first layer of your tooth, which is enamel, which is the hardest material. Mm. Yes. And you don't want to do that, okay, because that's where enamel, once lost, it's lost. You don't regrow back enamel. Yes, and then you get a bit of sensitivity. Sometimes people say...
Well, the teeth actually get yellow as well. Like,
yes, they
because
do.
Because like the enamel... Okay, enamel is clear. Mm-hmm. It's like glass. But then it needs to have a certain thickness to appear white. So I have some patients who say like, you know, whitening doesn't work on them because I think their enamel is quite thin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you might say, oh, you know, like... And that's why like as people get older, I mean, even if they don't do these like things, like just through the act of brushing, like we actually thin down our enamel. So that's why... older patients have like more yellow teeth as well.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's the recommended time then to wait, like after eating? Like say I've eaten something sweet and I'm like, oh my god, like you know what?
Theoretically, we read in our books, okay, it's 45 minutes after you eat. That's where your acid level comes down, okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone has 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I tell them you don't be too worried about all this bacteria in your mouth. Okay. Because sometimes when you have too much inflammation, people become germophobic. But I tell them these germs actually are part of you. You need good and bad bacteria to be a human. You cannot only have the good things. Okay. It's part of life. So I tell them to gargle their mouth. Okay.
Well,
after
eating.
Okay. Gargle even with just water. I'm happy, but not one or two times. Sometimes I tell them, you go drink Milo, okay? After you drink Milo, you try to gargle one time. You will see that the water you spit out is still a bit brownish. After the third time, then it starts to clear. So every time I tell them, gargle five times. Because do you think they're going to gargle five times? Maybe not. Maybe three times. But I'm happy with three, okay?
Yeah. would like fluoride mouthwash be helpful in this kind of situation?
I cannot discount the fluoride mouth rinse, but
I feel like this would be a good place
correct,
for it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You still need to rinse out the whatever is left in the mouth, be it food debris or any stains or from the food, and then you use your fluoride mouth rinse. Okay. Then it works because you cannot have a dirty thing and have trying to think that the good ingredients is going to stick on a dirty surface. It's not. Okay. It's just going to slip away. Then you are I always tell my patient, I say, you already spend money. So you must find a way to spend the money in the correct way.
Yeah. And also I tell them don't rinse out after using the mouthwash or the toothpaste.
Correct.
Yeah, it's like useless.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So that's another myth we are busting. So do not like dilute your toothpaste by wetting your toothbrush and like don't rinse out like after you're done with your brushing. Okay, so we actually talked about cleaning in between the teeth or like the lack of I'm just trying always to find a way to make it easier for my patients to, you know, clean better. So I always tell them like, you know, if you don't clean in between your teeth, it's like you took a shower but you didn't wash under your armpits.
Correct.
But a lot of patients find like dental floss like quite difficult to use.
It is. Yeah. It is. I remember the first time I used a floss, it took me 30 minutes to clean my mouth. I only have 28 teeth, okay? And my hands, my fingers were all cramped up from after flossing as well. It was such a difficult thing, but I had to clean it, yes?
And but what age were you like at that time?
Oh, very good question. So the same thing, I come from a Singapore family, never talk much even about brushing, okay? But I've been very lucky that my diet has been very well controlled by my parents, that I don't get any decay, okay? So I only started flossing at, let me think.
When you were in hygiene school.
No.
I only learned like when I went to dental school, because my prof said, like, because we had to like clean each other's teeth, and then my prof said, you have gingivitis, okay, come on, I'm gonna teach you how to floss. I will never forget that. It was like so embarrassing, but at least like I learned, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I believe it was 16 or 17.
Okay, that's better.
Correct. Yes. Then I was working as a dental assistant in a clinic, okay. And I was attached to a periodontist. Okay. And the periodontist did her studies.
Periodontist is a gum specialist, FYI. So it's like she's in the prime territory.
Correct.
You see what happens if you don't, look after your
hygiene. Correct. And at this age, I already had gingivitis. Okay. And my periodontist was like, do you clean between your teeth, Amida? I was like, what do you mean? Do you use the floss? I said, like, no, I've never used the floss in my life. Only just brushing. It was good enough, right? Then was the thinking. And he said, no, Amida, you cannot do this. You know, you are my assistant now. You know, I'm a gum specialist. Yeah. How can my nurse have nasty things in their mouth? I was okay, I'll try. So she taught me how to floss. I did my best. I hope I do her proud, okay? Yeah. And she was trained in the States. So interdental cleaning was like everything to her. Yeah. Yes. I don't say the Singaporean periodontist is not doing their job. They are. Yeah. But for the regular people, we don't see a periodontist for no reason. Yeah. We don't see a specialist for no reason. We normally just see a regular dentist. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times their appointments are so packed short that there's not much time to talk much. Just treatment. Even in the polyclinics, an appointment is 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how you can clean teeth and talk to a person in 20 minutes, because I don't normally talk to my patients as I'm cleaning teeth, because I don't expect any response. Okay. Yeah. It's because a lot of things is happening in the mouth, and patient is just in a state where most of them are afraid, are anxious, and they don't like coming to the dentist. They just want to get this done and over with. So my appointments are actually quite long. Okay.
Same. Like, how long would a hygiene appointment with you be?
Okay, typically? So if you've never seen me before, it's 1 hour.
Yeah, no, yes. I mean, because you're gonna do like your probing, correct. Your X-rays, your photos.
Correct.
You know, I mean,
correct.
Like, yeah. And will you do cleaning at that appointment as well?
Actually, if it's a new patient, for oral health therapists, we do not see the patient first. So a dentist or specialist sees the patient first. Okay. Then they give the patient to us, where we do just the cleaning and oral hygiene instructions. So the dentist does the consultation, does the x-rays, does the photos and everything like that. So I think this thing where we work as a team, it really works well, because now the dentist's time where he talks to the patient, understand the problems, writes down the chief complaints, and then let us know, because the system is all integrated in a computer where we can see things real time. And then we can see, okay, then dentist will send, okay, Miss A is ready to see Amida or the oral health therapist. And when patients come and see us, then that's where we do a bit more talking, make them feel a bit more relaxed. Okay, nothing scary going on. We're just going to clean your teeth, let you see what's going on in your mouth. Yes. And the experience become, I always tell my patients always tell me to say that you're coming for a learning experience about what's happening in your mouth for the last 6 months, or for whatever time you've not seen your dental professional. And they appreciate it, because of course you've got patients that, why do I need 1 hour at a dentist? I can get it done in 15 minutes. I don't want it so long. But when you explain it to them, and it's the same price, I'm not charging additional costs, then they appreciate that, my dental professional is really caring for me. Okay.
Yeah, because like, of course we would earn more if we just like, psh, 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 like, you know, and we like, we leave dirt behind or whatever. So like, I think it's also, I mean, beyond just the dentist hygienist team, it's like the person booking the appointments, correct. Like they have to explain as well, like, because otherwise, like, you know, both our clinics, I think, are slightly different. Like, our appointments are also, like 1 hour, something like that. I might do a little bit more, because like, I sometimes have to do the talking and the cleaning. And people don't like understand why, or maybe they're not aware that the appointment is, you know, this length of time. But I think another thing that, I think patients really appreciate is I usually take pictures before and after. So the after pictures that I got nothing to hide, I cleaned correct. Like everything. So mm-hmm. you have like the proof, I guess, in correct. Front of your eyes that, you know, it has been done. But, yeah, I mean, flossing is difficult. So what other things like do you recommend now? Like if you want a patient to clean in between their teeth, but they're like, oh, I don't know how to floss or it's like too difficult.
Okay. Interdental brushes. I know we've definitely heard about it.
Yeah.
Most people have not heard what is an interdental brush. Technically, mm-hmm. it's a tiny brush to brush to clean in between the spaces of your teeth. Yes. Everybody has a space in between their teeth unless you've got crowding. Yes, mm-hmm. which most Asians do actually. And most yeah. of the time you'll see our crowding is in our front, all the front teeth. Seldom you see at the molars. Yes, premolars, yes, maybe. Seldom molars. And when the molars are fat tooth, okay? So the surfaces, I always tell my patient, you're brushing front and back, but every tooth is, there is a side, and every side there is a neighbor, okay? So you're not brushing the sides. So how well do you think you're cleaning your teeth? You may be brushing 10 minutes, but is it enough? Yes. So all these sites are when, as what you have mentioned as well, not cleaning the armpits. Okay. Yeah. I will go on even further as not cleaning in your ear, behind your ear, in your fingers, between your toes even.
Yeah, I'd say it's like 50% of the tooth surface areas in between. So that means you're only cleaning like half if you don't clean in between.
Yeah. Correct. Yes. And then that's where problems get started as well. Because we know that decay don't happen. Most of the time, they don't happen on the surface, the front or back. A lot of times, more commonly, they happen at the sides of the tooth, in between, below or above, we say the contact point. So every tooth that is touching, okay, there is an area where two teeth touch together. But there is also this space that is nature, that it's meant to have a space. And when you have a fat molar with a fat molar, it's like an apple to an apple. If you put it side by side, there's going to be spaces still, even though one part of the tooth is touching or the apple is touching. And that's the area we want to clean. Okay. Mm-hmm. Decay that's happening in between. Sometimes we don't even catch it until it's too late. And I believe most people have this sensation. Some, maybe one day, even I had this one, okay, where I was eating something sweet and then I suddenly feel this like aching soreness in one of the tooth.
Okay.
And you know that, this part is demineralized. Yes. Okay. You know there's a decay happening soon. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to clean it extra well. Even with interdental cleaning, I got that feeling because of, I like my sweets, okay?
Yeah, same. Like, we are not angels. Okay, we're not banning sweets. Correct. But we are just saying that there's a smart way to mm-hmm. consume your sweets.
Correct.
So I think WHO actually, a couple of years ago, they came out with like, what's the recommended number of sugar exposures mm-hmm. that you can have in one day? It's like 4 times. So if you eat your 3 meals, you just have 1 extra time
correct.
For like a snack. Yeah.
Correct. And I think to tell your child not to have sweet when they are in the childhood. There's no more childhood if I cannot have sweet stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
I normally tell the parents, if your child is taking a sweet every hour or every 2 hours, please, I rather you have that one time, give them 10 sweets, okay? They're going to have the sugar rush, but one time only that day. So they only can snack one time, or they have their snacks or their sweets when they're having their meals. Okay, so you're trying to reduce the acid attack. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about interdental brushes. I also quite like the floss picks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are quite nice as well. I mean, just easier than like regular
definitely.
String floss. What about water flossers? I think, is it Philips that they have a water flosser?
I think many brands have water flossers. I've got, because I do travel for work, because I'm an education manager, and you see certain regions in the world where they are absolute water flossers advocates. Okay. My personal take, I don't quite like it. Unless.
Yeah, I just go back to the plaque disclosing gel. Like, can you remove the plaque? If you can't, then like, I don't know what you are using this for. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Unless you have certain medical conditions. Okay, that you really need the water flosses. If not, there is absolutely no brushing going on. Then I will say, please use at least something. Okay, so it should be a help for you and not replacing your brushing between your teeth on the surface of your teeth, which is your toothbrush, or I prefer interdentals to floss, okay? That's personal preference, but also not just personal preference as well, but actually through studies as well, they've done between flosses, interdental brushes, your water flosses, even your toothpicks, yes? And which actually removes plaque the best, okay? Studies after studies, they've shown that it's actually the interdental brushes. I'm not going to discount the floss, okay? It does help, yes? But if
it's quite tricky to use. Like, I think, like, if you don't know what you're doing with floss, like, you end up, like, pushing the plug into the gum.
Correct.
So, like, again, this is where, like, your friendly neighborhood dentist or hygienist can tell you, like, the proper technique. But a lot of people, they just kind of, like,
go in and out,
yeah,
right?
They just, like, kind of mashing the plug, like, into the gums. But, like, I think, yeah, interdental brush is a lot more idiot-proof. Like, you just go through and it's about finding the right size as well.
It is. Yeah. It is. Correct. Yeah. So there is actually this brand that can measure your size of your interdental spaces. Yeah. And that's where actually we come in, and that's the dental professionals to measure the size, because everybody's probably going to have multiple sizes in your mouth. But nobody's going to use five different sizes in your mouth, because I cannot even remember. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I come in as education manager. I teach the dental professionals technically how to not measure, but how to limit the number of sizes that we use. That still helps patient to clean well. And whether the patient is ready for interdental brushes, not everybody is ready, even though it's a good thing. Okay. Most of the time for my patients, I tell them, I don't give them the interdental brush the very first time. Most of the time, the first visit, I'll tell them, okay, brush this way. There's another way of brushing. And I say, okay, please clean between your teeth. What normally do you use? They'll say, don't know. I don't use it. Then I said, have you ever heard of the floss? They'll say, yeah, I've heard of the floss, but I've never used it. I said, do you want to try the floss? They said, okay. I said, anyway, let's try this for 6 months. Okay. If you can floss every day, I'm happy for you. Okay. Of course, I'll teach them the correct way of flossing. But at the second visit, they will, most of the time, they will say, oh, I only floss for, I think, 2 weeks after your appointment. And I stop flossing. And then when you ask them why, they laugh. But a lot of times, because there's no time. It's a part of human nature where we feel that's not important. So we just let that lapse. Yes. And when then you show them the plaque disclosing everything again, and you tell them the bleeding scores, okay, how much they're bleeding when you're brushing, that's not normal. Okay. I tell them when you brush and you see blood, you shouldn't see that, okay? That's your gums telling you, help, help. Brush more, not harder. Correct. And when they see this logic, then they are able to take the interdental brushes, and you're able to do the correct coaching with them as well. Humans, I myself as well, do I sometimes brush two times a day? Oh, I have to tell you, some days I'm so tired, I fall asleep and I wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh my goodness, I haven't brushed my teeth.
Yeah, but at least you woke up, right?
Yeah,
it's like, then he's like, oh, cannot go to sleep without brushing.
Yes, yeah. I've got many patients to do that as well, but I tell them, don't worry, because it's not going to be an everyday thing. I say, when you wake up, then you brush better. Brush longer, not harder, brush more, do more actions around with your teeth. You're able to remove, because plaque actually, it needs about, what, 48 hours before it solidifies and becomes tartar or hard calculus, as you call it, that sticks to your teeth and you're unable to remove. So nobody's going to be an angel to clean two times a day. If you're cleaning one time a day well, very good for you. But most of us aren't cleaning that well, and that's why we recommend two times a day. Yes.
Okay. So we've also talked about the fluoride. So we can get fluoride in toothpaste, in that remineralizing foam thing. What about like tongue scrapers? Like, is that something that you recommend?
I'm quite conservative. Okay. Most of us know that we should use a tongue scraper to clean our teeth. But I myself, I've got actually very thin skin. So when I use the tongue scraper, I actually scrape layers of my skin and I bleed. Okay. Not just one, two times, even with the plastic one, not the metal ones. I tend to cut my own tongue, okay? So if you're already using something to clean your teeth, not really ideal, but your toothbrush,
Yeah, I do that. So
yes, just, correct. Then why not? Because it's better than nothing. Because the white coating on your teeth, on your tongue, actually, they are actually bacteria, but they are loose, okay, and they are not going to adhere so much to your tongue. And most of the time, this bacteria that's on the tongue is easily removed, and that's most of the time also causing quite a lot of bad smell. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because of the anatomy of the tongue. I always tell my patient the tongue is like a carpet.
Yes.
So we're trying to like deep clean this carpet.
Yes, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
But like, I mean, I do it every time I brush. So I guess I don't get too much buildup. And yeah, like what you said, like if you're concerned about bad breath and I mean, you're cleaning your teeth well, because okay, maybe this is a bit gross, but have you noticed, like, you know, at the beginning of a, like, a hygiene appointment, when there's a lot of plaque, there's a smell.
Yes.
Then when you clean it, it's like the smell goes down.
Yes, correct. You know, sometimes I'm very bad, you know. I will scrape this plaque, and let my young patients smell it.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell them,
okay, all these bacteria, you want to be neighbors, you want to be friends with bacteria, is it? Then they'll be like, ha, that I don't want. I say, okay, I'm going to take some bacteria out, you smell. Then they'll be like, some will smell, and they'll be like, ew. Yeah, and some are like, no, because they know it's gross and smelly.
Yeah. So like, guys, if you want to know whether your breath actually smells, just, I think I heard another one where you like lick the back of your hand, let the saliva dry, and then you go and smell it.
Yes.
That's how your breath actually smells. So yeah, I mean, we are basically like, everyone is just getting truth bombs like in this episode.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, like, tongue scraper, yeah, would you say it's like an optional kind of thing, right? Because, like, I want them to do the basic.
Actually, I will use it.
Will you do?
I do.
Which one are you using? The metal?
I use the metal one.
Oh, hardcore.
Kind of like a habit, because I saw my father use it from the past. Oh. Yeah, so I just follow. Then actually, when I started to use it, I feel like there's a lot of things coming out. Like a slimy thing, like a thick layer. Then after that, I will continue to use it like morning and night. But in the morning when you use it, just like maybe like toothpaste after you rinse it, there's a foaming like a gel layer that they scrub up. Yeah. So actually, I feel very good from my personal experience. Maybe if something come up, I'm so happy.
Okay, so like Leanne is like super hardcore. She used a metal tongue scraper. Okay. So like, I think most patients, if they can't floss, I don't want them to focus on like tongue scraping at the expense of flossing.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. I always tell my patient, use what you're comfortable with cleaning your tongue. Because not everybody can use a tongue scraper. Some have very bad gag reflex. They just cannot scrape their tongue. So, my little trick that I every time tell, even brushing the back of your teeth, some, especially young people, they gag really awfully. I've got one patient that actually every time he brushes, he vomits. Okay. It's very sad. Okay. So they had to, because I was in the school dental clinic, the little boy had to come see me every day to brush teeth. And we will not brush in the dental clinic. We will brush in the canteen where we have that big sink. So when he vomits, actually he vomits into that big sink. Because it's awful for him as well. Brushing experience is not nice. But we need to inculcate and to desensitize him as well. I left that school, obviously. And I'm here now. Okay. But I hope that he's much better. Because after 1 month of everyday brushing with me, much better, no more vomiting, just gagging. Okay. Of course, the parents, he was actually taken care by his grandparents. So his grandparents was very, very happy. Yes, because brushing is a torture for the grandchild. Yes. So as dental professionals, how much can we help a patient? I feel immensely. Yes. As little as they come in, when we can tell them, oh, there's no need to fear the dental clinic. There's no need to feel cleaning. Because a lot of times when we think we go to a dental clinic, we think, I don't like the sound. It's a high-pitched sound. Nobody likes it. I myself, I don't like to go to my dentist to clean my teeth. Yeah? But I have to do it. So what I do, I tell my patients, you don't want to see me that often, you clean better at home. Very easily.
Facts, guys. Like, we're dropping facts here.
Yes. Yeah. I don't see my patients every 6 months. I've got some patients that clean superbly well. I see them once a year. Yeah. I'm happy to see them once a year too. Yes.
Yeah. So if you guys, you don't like to come and see us, you need to put in the work.
Yeah.
Like, the problem is like people don't want to do the work and then they're like, you know, like I just tell them, like, I mean, yeah, I can make it like super painless, but like, I'm just leaving dirt behind. Like then, like, I feel bad because I shortchange you. Like, but yeah, I mean, sometimes if they are really anxious about the cleaning process being painful, like, I'll just numb them up because correct. Then I can actually clean it correct. And then you won't feel like any pain.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of times they brush actually quite well, but when you don't do interdental cleaning, then you get all this hardened bacteria that's under the gums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And those are the times where cleaning becomes quite uncomfortable. Yeah. There's going to be quite a lot of bleeding as well as we're cleaning your teeth. So what I do normally, I clean your teeth, but I don't, you know, we've got this saliva ejector where we take out your saliva and a high vac where we take up more volume and aerosol. I will skip that, go to that area where I clean that whole lump of calculus that's under the gums. I will pick it up with a tweezer and I put it one side. After we clean the teeth, then I will show the patient, okay, we took some time to clean your teeth because this is was under your gums. And when you show it to the patient, they're like, what's that? I said, yeah, that's the bacteria that was like building houses inside your gums. Mm. Yes. And when they see things like that, then they will be quite shocked because they're like, I don't see anything on my teeth. They're like, it's quite clean. And I tell them it's quite clean. Yes. Mm. But you can see their gums. It's a bit reddish. Yes. And then they say, yeah, sometimes I brush, there's a bit of bleeding. They don't know what's going on. And when you show things like that, then patient understands, yes, I need to do more cleaning. Okay. Not harder cleaning, but more cleaning. And when they learn the facts that they are 360 days on their own, okay, if they see us only two times a year, then it takes the sense that, okay, I need to clean my teeth. I think in Singapore, we have this misconception that we don't need to see the dentist. We only see when we have problem.
Yeah.
But that's where the problem becomes very big.
Yeah, and then they complain like, why are you so expensive? Correct. I'm like, bro, this treatment is designed to help you with this very complicated problem.
Correct. Yes, yeah. I've got patients coming in telling me, oh, I haven't seen the dentist since COVID. Yes, because during COVID, of course, you couldn't do many things. The clinics were practically not allowed to see patients as well. Mm. And they then got into the habit of, oh, I don't need to see the dentist, not much problem or so what. And then they come with one decay, but when you take an x-ray, it becomes eight decays. And they'll be like, doctor, how can that be? And then I say, I'm not lying to you. You look at the x-rays. And yes, then it becomes very heavy cost on the patient. And
I mean, it's unpleasant. You know, I mean, if you have such advanced decay, like, you know, that includes like root canal treatments, maybe even extractions, and the tooth is like permanently weakened, it's never going to be the same. So, like, yeah, again, if you hate us, just like really take care of your teeth, like then we won't be able to do like all these like expensive treatments on you.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And yes, in the end, I think as a regular person, I benefit because I don't get pain. I get nice, beautiful smile. I normally tell my patients, you don't need to have white teeth, okay? Unless you are a celebrity or you are, we say in Chinese, 卖笑, okay? You are doing sales where you need to show your teeth every time, white teeth, straight teeth. If not the condition of your teeth, how strong they are, how good your oral health is, that is more important. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end our podcast. So, guys, like we covered like so many different things. We talked about what the OHT or hygienist is, like all the myth busting on the hygiene stuff. And yeah, I think like this will be a really good episode for our listeners and followers. And once again, if you haven't liked, share, subscribe to the podcast for more episodes like this, and please share because like, there's so many like good like tips in this podcast that I think will help a lot of people. And yeah, I think we'll say goodbye for now.
Yes.
Okay. So bye everybody.
Bye. Bye.